Hello to you. Welcome to America Trends. Glad to have you along here on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio for the hour. So, again, glad you're along. Tonight, we are talking about something that plagues a lot of Americans, fatigue. There's a lot we don't understand about it, but you can be sure that it's probably affecting your life if you're going through anything. We're talking about physical and mental fatigue, the most common reason Americans seek out their doctors. So how do we treat it? What is the root cause? We will find out with a doctor named Dr. Vicki Peterson. It's her specialty, and it might be hurting your health even more than you know. Then Dr. John Huber of Mainstream Mental Health will be along. Going to talk a little bit about social media addiction, some new stuff on that. And Valentine's Day, if you're spending it alone, he is going to talk us through it, talk us down, however you want to put it. Also, Brandon Strzok is back with us. He is the founder of the Walk Away Movement. And does he have some news. He is talking about, he's out of New York. He might be taking on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for her congressional seat when it's up. So talk to Brandon in a little bit, and he's also got a new release called The Great Awakening, Breaking the Chains of the DNC, where he talked to some people who walked away, and boy, did they have some testimonies to share. So that's all ahead. And President Trump, speaking from El Paso tonight, he is heading there. It's pretty much his first campaign stop of 2020, they're saying. And this is days before his deadline for Congress to come up with a plan for a border wall. This is news that his approval rating is pretty amazing, by the way. El Paso has been in the spotlight in the debate over the wall. President says there will be another government shutdown if there's no deal by this Friday. And El Paso, again, in the middle of all this, he mentioned it in his State of the Union address last week. It is a major smuggling route for Mexican drugs, illegal aliens, and Islamic terrorists. Also of note, supporters of Trump and the wall gathered, at the Texas-Mexico border over the weekend, linking hands to form a human barrier of their own. Human chain, waved American flags, wore their red MAGA hats, and chanted, what did they chant? Build the wall. Meanwhile, near Eagle Pass, Texas, a whole caravan is still being put up, sheltered on the Mexican side. Migrants who arrived mostly from Honduras 1 week ago. Some 1,800 are all claiming asylum, and Mexico is processing each and every case. Interviews alone for each migrant, 3 to 4 hours long. And so many who were there and made this long trek learned that those claims will take months to process, and they'll be in that tent. So now like 100 or so want to return home rather than wait. Maybe they were lied to again. This caravan, instead of arriving near San Diego this time where there's a wall, opted for Piedras Negras, Mexico, near Eagle Pass, Texas, where there are known easy entry points into the U.S. More Democrats declared their candidacy this weekend for the 2020 Democratic ticket. Elizabeth Warren, she had a tough week last week. Her Native American ancestry claims she used her whole life, got into some controversy. And then Amy Klobuchar, who braved snowy conditions and said her nation must be governed not by chaos, but by opportunity. Conservative commentator Terrence K. Williams wants to know where her hat and gloves were.
I promise you this, as your president, I will look you in the eye. I will tell you what I think.
Girl, bye. If you don't sit down somewhere and drink some hot cocoa, talking about, as your president, I will look you in the eye. Don't look me in the eye. Why don't you look into creating some jobs? Why don't you look into helping the American people? Look us in the eye. Y'all Democrats have lost y'all mind. And first of all, who are you? And where is your hat and gloves? Now, how you running as a president, but you can't even set a good example by putting on a hat and some dang gloves? Girl, bye. Y'all. Who not running for president? Which Democrat is not running? Can you raise your hand if you're not running for president?
Give me your attention, baby. I gotta tell you a little
Glad to have you with America Trends right now. We are joining Dr. John Huber out of Texas with MainstreamMentalHealth.org talking about Valentine's Day. And also a study, always a new study, social media addicts struggle to make new friends and keep old ones in real life. Well, yeah, if you're spending all your time on there, the fantasy sort of becomes your reality, and there's a whole lot of complexity to get into, and we'll talk to Dr. Huber about that in a moment. Hey, Doc, how are you doing?
I am amazing. How are you doing today?
Well, this is a whole new groovy background. Is this a Valentine's Day week celebration?
Absolutely. Yes, okay. Yes. Either that or it's anger, one or the other. I can't figure out.
I'll leave it to the doctors like you. So we know that you're the chairman for Mainstream Mental Health, and that's MainstreamMentalHealth.org, nonprofit. If anyone wants to go there and look around and support. But, you know, we're talking about Valentine's Day being alone, and it's no different than any other day, but it does kind of get put in your face. It's so commercialized. Started by Cadbury back in the day, that chocolate company. Isn't that interesting?
It is funny where a lot of our holidays come from, and Cadbury is to blame for this one.
And Hallmark, right?
It's just like any other day. There's nothing really, you know, special about the day. We just chose to make it something about intimate relationships. So everybody who's not in one gets upset now. So
there's a whole Saint Valentine, and there's a Christian angle to it, but no one talks about that. They talk about chocolate. And
right.
People
exactly.
Walk into any store and they're just assaulted by balloons and candy. And you know, I really don't want to minimize singleness and being alone, because it's very, very painful for people. And it's day in and day out. It's not just, laugh it up. But how do we sort of get through it and talk our way through it? And I know there are things like, look at Cupid. Our radio viewers, we got a single on Valentine's and meme where Cupid took a crash to the ground. But Doc, how do we talk? We've got, Galentine's Day. I used to have a Galentine's Day lunch for my friends, and it was so neat. But what do we do?
Well, what you got to realize is if it's something that is going to affect you and bother you, take control of it. Take charge of it. Don't just sit there and be passive at home. Go out, do things, invite your other single friends, go to a movie, go out to dinner. You don't have to, go out and have that dinner with somebody romantic. There's no reason why you shouldn't. In fact, it's a little late now. Today's the 11th, so we got two more days to try and get a date.
Oh, come on. All the guys, I don't want to say all the guys, but a lot of people are going to be in there on the 13th, the night of. You know they are, buying cards. Isn't that the joke all the time?
Well, yeah, but it doesn't mean they've already got their date typically planned out by this point.
Oh, you mean getting an actual date, a honey.
Yes. Yes. I mean, but what should have happened is a week or two ago, you should have said, hey, we're having a get-together at my house. Everybody, bring a potluck, do something like that. Take charge, take control of it. Don't sit back in your misery. And, if you're going to be miserable, find other single people and be miserable together. At least maybe you can have some fun that way. Play Cards Against Humanity or something. That's a good time to do that.
Cards Against Humanity will make you forget anything. That is a laugh. Oh, my gosh, it's so naughty. Don't play it with the kids.
Great joke.
It's very funny.
Great game.
But yeah, that's it. But you know what you say? I mean, it is sort of late in the day to be planning on getting people together. But with social media, it can so be fly by night and sort of be an impromptu thing. So I guess people can do that. That's good advice, Doc.
Well, one year I decided to, on my birthday, that I didn't really want to party. And I told my wife and everybody no. But the next morning I got up, it was Saturday, and I just like, hey, let's see if somebody can come by. So I started posting on social media, and we had about 120 people stop in. And it was, some people stayed for 5 minutes, some people stayed for hours, and it was just like, hey, come as long as you want, just say hello and grab some free food. And we had everything ready, and it was an amazing time. Social media is right. You can do that. Go throw something up on your Facebook and on your Instagram and see how many of your real friends are sitting there just like you and don't want to be alone. Go out and have them knock on your door and bring a pizza.
I really love that you said that, because that's so true. You can plan and say, I don't care, Valentine's Day, it's stupid. But when the day comes, you just might feel a certain way. So if you get on there and invite other people, that could be something that really works out and could be really, really fun. I love that.
Absolutely. And if it doesn't, you can sit there and joke about it. And everybody else across the country that that's sitting at home by themselves, y'all can rant and rave and have kind of a social party online.
Oh, I love that. Doc, good advice. So if you're alone for Valentine's Day, talking to Dr. John Huber of Mainstream Mental Health, just a few little things for you. Talk yourself through it, you guys. And speaking of social media, this new study, another one showing that social media addicts and we'll figure out what an addict is in a moment with you, struggle to make new friends and struggle to keep new ones in real life. So Doc, let's start off by saying this is a survey of 3,000 plus adults showing that people consider less than a quarter of their Facebook friends to be true friends in real life, with the average person seeing 7 friendships fizzle thanks to social media reliance. So let's just talk about what, in your terms, makes a social media addict.
Well, what I look for is your ability to function. Are you losing your job? Are you losing your social interaction because of it? You know, your real friends. Are you not going outside of your house, basically, and having involvement with your community, whether it's going to the movies, going out to eat, that type of stuff? Those are signs that you're becoming an addict. You know, you're moving away from humanity. You're separating yourself from this whole thing. We're social animals, and you got to be part of the community. Our body, our minds, our whole physiology depends on interaction with other human beings. That's why we consider, you know, solitary confinement potentially cruel and unusual punishment, because you isolate like that, and so many things start messing up and not working right because we thrive off human contact.
Can you also sort of weigh in a way that when it's probably 10 or 11 years ago when Facebook really got big and people started joining, and when people started posting everything, I thought, if you're having so much fun where you are, why are you stopping to post to us? Why aren't you just having the fun? But then it really became a part of, hey, let's post, and everyone putting up their pictures and having fun with it. It became it became part of what we are and how we do things. But if that's all you're doing, and it's just all about the pictures and not real life, that maybe could be a cue too.
Well, in fact, there's actually research out there that suggests the more selfies you put out, the more likelihood there is that you have a mental health issue, a mental health diagnosis of some sort. And it's interesting. I think it has to do with the fact that because you're so absorbed in that artificial, mechanical, electronic world, that we don't engage in real life contacts. And that's one of the problems with this FaceTime. You're sitting there and you're so engaged in a screen and people liking you that you don't actually spend time with the people in real life and have those connections to maintain your relationships.
Yeah, an important balance, because it's part of our life, social media. And Doc, our time is short, but happy Valentine's Day. Appreciate you coming on. MainStreetMentalHealth.org is his handle, right?
That's right. Happy Valentine's Day, Amy.
You too. We'll talk to you soon. You're with America Trends for the Hour. You know, one of the primary reasons people see their physician is because of fatigue, random physical fatigue, mental fatigue. A lot of times they don't know where it's coming from, but it's definitely affecting their daily life. And we're so pleased tonight to be introducing you to Dr. Vicki Peterson of Root Cause Medical Clinic, which you can find right here, rootcausemedicalclinic.com. And she's got some answers to what Americans are going through. And boy, I bet there are a lot of root causes, and we're so glad to have Dr. Peterson on tonight. How are you, Doc?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, good to see you. Before we get started into how this affects us all, can you tell us why, as a physician, when and how you became so interested in this and prompted by the cause that you wanted to dedicate yourself to this part of medicine?
Yeah, you know, I think as is common for a lot of doctors, I personally did not enjoy good health, nor did my mother. So I had chronic migraines, headaches. I used to pass out from low blood sugar, talk about taking fatigue to an endpoint.
Oh, gee.
That's kind of dramatic.
But I bet a lot of people have that same thing.
No, it's very common. It's very common. For me, I was told as a kid, well, you have all this because your mother has it and it's genetic and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it, which was a little depressing. So I'd actually always wanted to become a pediatrician, and then my own kind of health issues and then watching what my mom went through, I thought I really want to figure out the why, you know, the deep root cause. And it was also interesting that my mother didn't tolerate medication very well. And she said, just don't bother, because, you know, and there is a genetic inclination for certain people, but drugs all have side effects. And we know that, and we learn about things later on with medication. So I really wanted to respect the body, and you know, the human body's ability to heal itself is amazing, but what can happen is there's just too many obstacles in its way. And just to finish with my mom for a moment, I got a hold of her in her late 60s, and she said her 70s and 80s were her best decades. And she had quite a health history, and so it was very interesting early in my career to appreciate that, wow, these bodies are very tough, they're very strong, they're able to heal. And there she, you know, lived to 93 and had nothing wrong with her. She just sort of died of old age. And with her health history, that was pretty miraculous. So I've really enjoyed a 20 plus year career of helping people get to the reason why they're tired. Traditional medicine will rule out anemia, they'll rule out a thyroid problem, and they'll rule out insomnia. And that's kind of it.
And, those tests aren't very accurate or very in-depth, are they?
That's right. That's right. That's a very excellent point. Unfortunately, our lab normals are an average of Americans. And
yeah,
unfortunately,
yeah.
you know this, which is great. Most people don't. And so it's an average of an unhealthy American.
just one little thing. And I have people in my family, they've had thyroid issues. And for years and years and years, their doctors say, no, you don't. But they did. And it's exactly what you said. People don't understand. Yeah. It's because of the test. And,
right.
And the equalization, how would you say about the population?
Yeah, it's an average of a sick population. Yeah. And so that's why, if you can imagine disease on one side of a spectrum, you know, one on the right side of a line, and then optimal health on the left side of a line, you know, you have that middle area. And in traditional medicine, you're told you're fine all the way until you cross that threshold and you're told you have a disease. In functional medicine, root cause medicine, as soon as you leave
Great,
you're not diseased yet, but you're not optimal. And of course, this aligns with what people feel, because they don't feel well. And so they go, good, the test is showing something that aligns with what I know, which is, I don't feel right, you know, I am tired, I have headaches, I, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Dr. Vicki Peterson from rootcausemedical.com, if you want to look her up. She's in Northern California, too, if you're there. Okay, so we have these issues. How can we sort of break it down? And I got to tell you, I love what you said about your mother saying her best decades, 60s and 70s, et cetera, because
yeah.
It gives you so much to look forward to that you don't have, there's no decline, there's no expiration date on us. And,
That's right.
Like with you today, we're learning how to have better health, and our better days could be ahead.
Oh, absolutely. Healthy to 100 is my motto. Some people roll their eyes in their head, but
I love that.
You know, our organs are designed to last for 120 years. That's their longevity profile. Yeah, and this has been researched a lot. So, you know, when people come in their 40s and 50s and say, well, I'm getting older, it's like, you're not even at the halfway mark. What are you talking about? But unfortunately, our society has kind of built that in. I have people in their, you know, early 30s coming in, well, I'm getting older. I'm like, oh, for goodness sake, you are so not. But you can feel older. I mean, I'll be honest, when I was a teenager and in my early 20s, I felt a lot older than I feel in my 50s. So there is the chronological aging. And
by the way,
50s,
looking pretty good, Doc.
Thanks very much. But that's what I say is, you know, we can reverse biological aging. The chronology, okay, time marches on. But it's really about the biological aging. And that's what we do here. By getting to the real root cause, we can make you biologically younger, which is really what matters. It's how you feel.
So we can try to pay attention to what we're eating, how we're sleeping, how we're spending our day, exercise. The more we learn about that stuff on our own, the better we do. Great. And as you say, I love what you say about the body is an amazing thing when it comes to healing itself. But there are things that you know that we can't really grasp about glands and organs that cause these things. What can you tell our audience that will sort of give us an insight into that?
Yeah, you can be doing so much right. And I have so many patients who come in and I'm like, okay, let's acknowledge how much you're doing right, because that's great. Now we need that precision medicine, that last few puzzle pieces that's going to allow you to really feel the benefits for how hard you're working with this body. So one thing with fatigue is looking at your adrenal glands, which make adrenaline, so, you know, give you energy, but they have a lot to do with hormonal balance and inflammation and allergies and sleep, and they do a lot for us. And it's so interesting because they're completely ignored by conventional medicine. And the only reason they're ignored is because, as we know, we're very disease-oriented. And the adrenal glands don't disease very often. It's called Addison's disease. It's very rare, and you just don't see it. So if somebody comes in and says, wow, you know, I listened to this lecturer and I heard something about my adrenal glands, doc, what do you think? I mean, when he or she says to you, you're fine, it's not because they're trying to be rude. They really just are thinking disease, and it's a rare disease. It's absolutely debilitating. You'd be home in bed pretty much chronically. So when it hits hard. But we're not talking about the disease. We're talking about the malfunction. And malfunction of these adrenal glands is pretty epidemic. But once again, conventional medicine doesn't have a test for it. They don't acknowledge it. So, you know, once they look at your thyroid, and by the way, thyroid and adrenals are kissing cousins, as I like to say. They work very closely with one another. And sometimes people are having thyroid issues because the adrenal glands are malfunctioning, but we miss the adrenal glands completely. And it's really unfortunate because it can be a real linchpin for why your effortless energy and effortless mood, you know, it has a lot to do with mood balancing, has a lot to do with fertility. So we could talk for a long time.
Oh, so much. And the sleeping and how it can cycle. When you're not sleeping, you can get sicker. Doc, we're out of time, and I hate that, but we'll have to have you back. This is so interesting.
Yeah, I would love to. Oh, we are a destination clinic, so we treat people from all over the country, not just California. So definitely reach out if you're having a problem.
Oh, we will. We'll see you back and see you on your website. Dr. Vicki Peterson, thank you so much. Brandon Strock with the Walk Away Movement is up next.
Patriots. My name is Darlene.
My name is Steve.
My name is Lucretia Hughes.
Eric Muldrow.
Justin Daniels.
Sean Allen.
Jermaine Thomas.
Cyrus Carter.
Rebecca.
I'm Wos.
Kim.
Holy crap, I have not voted in a very long time, but I might start now.
I had to really do a major shift in my thinking, a complete paradigm shift.
I'm a person with a brain.
I was making the wrong choice.
I allowed myself to be manipulated.
It blew my mind to know that I was so blind.
Absolutely blew my mind.
That was astonishing to me.
Eye-opening.
Wow, I was duped.
We have been duped. We have been hoodwinked to the highest order.
So what do you think? Are you doing some critical thinking about your politicians and whatever party you support? We all should do that all the time. And one person who has had a big epiphany in the past couple years is our friend of the show, Brandon Strock, of the hashtag Walk Away movement. What you just saw was his new short film offering called The Great Awakening, Breaking the Chains of the DNC. This is only a couple of weeks old. It's about 35 minutes long. You can find it on YouTube. It's great. And Brandon, thank you for sharing that and for all you're doing. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
So good. So good. I know you've got a new show, and you had a huge rally in D.C. on the Mall a couple months back. And it was for Martin Luther King Day, right, that you released this new short film that you're so proud of and is so well done. It's so great to see.
Thank you so much. Yes, it's true. We released it as sort of like a worldwide viewing party online over MLK weekend. And of course, it's always going to be available for people to watch for free on YouTube. If they type in The Great Awakening, Breaking the Chains of the Democratic Party. But something we have coming up that I'm really excited about too is I've made some phone calls and I did some pricing, and basically what we're going to do, starting in New York and spreading to several other cities throughout the country, is renting out an entire movie theater, like an AMC or Regal movie theater. We're going to raise the money so that we can have people attend a screening completely for free. And what we're really going to do is try to target, you know, the African-American Hispanic community with our film, The Great Awakening, Breaking the Chains of the Democratic Party, allow people to come in, view it for free. And then we're going to do kind of a town hall in the movie theater afterwards with a Q&A asking, what do you think about what you just saw? And can we have a frank discussion about why some of us in these minority communities, of course, I'm not black, but, you know, I'm a member of the LGBT community. I want to have a panel discussion with people in the theater and just have a discussion. Why are we voting the way that we vote? Why do we continue to do this? Is it in our best interest?
See, and that's the thing, too. And you so deftly addressed this in all the times you talk, but also in this breaking the chains of the DNC, is that people think that they're born into something, and they are also treated that way. And we saw Terrence K. Williams earlier in the show, and I know he spoke at your rally. He was born into a situation where he had like 11 brothers and sisters all in foster care. He went through foster care. And as he was growing up, people told him, you know what, you're a victim. You should be given this, that, and the other. And he looked for something inside him. He looked around and said, that just doesn't sound right to me. And he did his own critical thinking. And it's also what happened to you. Can you just brush by the past 2 years? Because you used to get on Twitter and rant against Trump. And you said, how can someone vote for this guy? And if you watch the mainstream media or talk to peers and everyone around, just assume a lot of groups will just assume that he's a joke and he's against everybody. What happened to you?
Well, you know, it really, I think it was sort of the perfect storm of what happened to me before and what has happened since, because what it is I've discovered, Harlem life.
Harlem, which brings us, by the way, as we wait for the sirens to go by, that this guy, Brandon Strzok, hashtag walk away movement, is going to be possibly giving Ocasio-Cortez a run for her money. But we'll get to that in a minute. If the sirens are gone, you can get back to your thought, Brandon.
Sure. Thank you very much. So, you know, what it is that the media, I think the liberal media, does a really amazing job of painting conservatives and people on the right of being completely horrible, deplorable, shameful human beings who are all racist and bigots.
Hate gays, all the thing. Hate low socioeconomic, everything.
Right. Well, and the thing
is, hate immigrants.
Yes, and they make it so shameful that people are afraid to even push back against it. You know, that people just kind of keep their heads down, I think, which is why, you know, we have this label, the silent majority, I think, on the right. So what happens is, for people like myself, who, you know, I used to be on the left, I'm not anymore, but for people on the left, we believe the media, because the media is the only voice talking and saying these guys are all bigots, they're all racist, that's why they vote the way they vote, that's why they do the things that they do. Meanwhile, we don't have anyone really fighting or pushing back. So when Donald Trump got elected, I was horrified and scared to death, because the media had been saying for so long that anybody who supports him are just emboldened racists, neo-Nazis, you know, and then
Klan members, all of it. You're right.
Yeah, and he won by this humongous margin. So then all of a sudden I thought, oh my God, there's all these covert bigots living amongst us who are nice to us, to our face during the day, and then, you know, secretly harboring all this hate in their hearts after the fact, apparently.
And okay, Brandon, I'm sorry to interrupt again, but that just makes me weep. Because people probably really do think that.
Yes.
And, I mean, we really need to think about that and not let that become just a foundation for what we think of other people, no matter what side you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And then, you know, for me, it really took the very kind action of somebody who had known me my entire life reaching out to me. And she presented me with basically a video, which was evidence. I mean, very clear evidence of the liberal media lying and creating a narrative about Donald Trump, about his followers. And that was, for me, the first eye-opening step in what became a long journey of walking away entirely from the Democratic Party and the liberal media. And then I created a campaign encouraging everybody else to do the same.
It's pretty good. So what was that like? What were some of the first steps? Because it can't have been easy to go your whole life being a Democrat, being mortified by Donald Trump, and then the little seeds start where you're saying, is he really that bad? Or, boy, have I been lied to by the media. Yeah. Like, how did it sort of, what were the next couple steps?
You know, to be honest with you, Amy, I feel like I owe it to myself, and I feel like I owe it to the world to, at some point, write all of this down in a book. Because I can laugh about it now because I have a lot of friends now, new friends. I have a new life now. I mean, things are pretty good for the most part, but it was torture. I mean, it was absolutely torture, because not only did I lose the majority of my friends, not only did I, you know, lose, I had people attacking me on social media. I had people attacking me in real life. I had friends viciously calling me and text messaging me on the phone. But going through a transition like that, where everything that you staunchly believed your entire life gets turned upside down. And suddenly you're like, I think I've been lied to by my whole life. I feel that I trusted. It is, it's mind blowing.
Pretty jarring.
It's devastating. Yeah, it's devastating.
And then that's the time when you need support, and it sort of didn't happen. So, and that's right. That's another whole thing to get into about the party that has been rooting against intolerance for decades is so very intolerant and so not willing to come to the table for so many things.
Right.
So, Brandon, we're going to hold you over for one more segment, and we're going to talk about, you know, a possibility of you going head-to-head with Ocasio-Cortez, and more about this film and a little bit more about the Walk Away movement and the support you are getting now from people who have said, I've seen them talk to you on Twitter, no matter where you go, we'll love you forever. We're not going to turn our backs on you. So more with Brandon Strock up next.
I was once a Democrat, ignorant.
I was a foolish young boy, first time voting.
Oh, snap, I'm conservative.
A lot of people are opening their eyes, and I'm proud for it.
I woke up to the truth.
It took me until the age of 25 to wake up.
I am inspired.
This is my coming out.
I'm frustrated as a black woman that I have to continue to be black.
I walked away from the Democratic plan.
They walked away. And it all sort of started with the founder of hashtag Walk Away movement. He's been accused of being a Russian bot. But in fact, he is Brandon Strock. And Brandon, welcome back.
Thanks.
It's spelled Brandon Strocka, but pronounced Strock. Want to just mention so people know how to find you. And on Twitter, it's U.S. Minority. And you're very active on there. And just love following you there. He's got a YouTube channel. He's got his own show. So we just saw a little bit more of the Great Awakening, Breaking the Chains of the DNC, which, by the way, we're going to show a few more minutes later in the show. Where did you find these new friends of yours, or did they find you?
The ones in the movie?
Yeah.
Those are people who made walkaway testimonials. So for anybody who may not know, I started something called the Walkaway Campaign after I walked away myself. And what I encouraged people to do was to make video testimonials telling their stories about why they were walking away from liberalism, the Democratic Party. And it was just one of those moments that, you know, those things in life that people were waiting for. It's like they didn't know they wanted it until it was there. And I think a door was open and people were like, yes, yes, yes. Now this is this network of support that I've been looking for and this voice that I've wanted to have. And suddenly so many people were making walkaway videos. And at this point, there are thousands, I think, of walkaway videos that exist. But somebody in our campaign, Mike Boss, he's a Hollywood filmmaker. He took the time to take the video testimonials of 20 Black Americans and string them together into a 35-minute short film that really kind of tells this common experience that so many Black Americans have about why they became Democrats in the first place and why they are now having their eyes opened and they're walking away. And you made a comment earlier, Amy, that I think is so true and it's so relevant, which is for a lot of people, particularly racial minorities, it's just generational. It's what their mother did. It's what their grandmother did. It's what their parents, you know, you said earlier, you know, we need to be thinking more. We need to be thinking more. And that's where we're at now. We need to start asking ourselves these questions that we haven't been asking for a while. Why are we making the choices that we're making? And are they what's in our best interest?
It's not the party of the Kennedys anymore, even the Clintons just a few years back. It's so different. And it looks, when you have a president of the United States have to stand up at the State of the Union and say, we will never be a socialist country, you know you've gotten to a point where you're saying, oh boy, what's really going on here? And I also almost want to sort of ask you, as someone who spent time, you know, being a Democrat most of your life, I just have to stop and say it really breaks my heart that the hate that goes on both sides when people get very and they think the Trump supporters are a certain way and the fact that they can't open their eyes and just listen to both sides of the aisle. Boy, we used to have Tip O'Neill. Everyone was friends and the Kennedys and everyone, they talked it out. And you weren't evil. Maybe your ideas weren't good, but it's changed now. So when you see some of this implosion, like what's happening in Virginia, where the party that's supposed to be oh so tolerant is about blackface, sexual assault allegations, and things like these, do you sort of go, oh boy?
Well, yeah, but it's in a way, it's not surprising that this is where we've ended up, because this is where I think political correctness and identity politics and politics in general, the way, this is one thing I love about Donald Trump. People can get as angry as they want to get about the fact that he tweets or the fact that he sometimes uses language that is unlike what other politicians use. But you know what? I never question if he's lying or not. Never.
That's a great point.
And if he does say something that that people don't like, and then they call him on it and they say, you know, that was really not presidential, sir. You really shouldn't have said it that way. His response is usually, look, it may not sound presidential, but that's the truth. And I know it. I know that even if the words don't sound diplomatic, they're true. And at this point, I think most people, at least on the right, most people prefer truth to diplomacy. And this is what has gone so terribly wrong, I think, with the left, is that people have gotten so complacent and so used to their politicians just telling them the words that they want to hear, and they're not truthful. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, people can, you know, as soon as someone starts engaging heavily in identity politics and political correctness, you can be pretty certain that behind that facade, there's probably something very dark lingering there. And it's total dishonesty. And so, no, I'm not shocked at all that somebody from the side that claims to be all about tolerance and about embracing people of color and racial minorities turns out to be the biggest bigot of all.
We are so used to politicians who say what they can to satiate their base because of what the polls say and not what they really mean. But Trump is really beholden to no one. And so that's why we did hire him, in fact. Speaking of hiring some new congressional members last month, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the queen of all crazy memes, and she does say things that are, she doesn't quite know math too well. She doesn't quite know what the separation of government is, and she's gotten herself into some issues with the things she said. You are in her area, and you're talking about taking her on for her congressional seat. So give us your pitch, Brandon.
Well, okay. Now, you and I are entering into some very dangerous territory here. So
there's only a minute and a half left, so we can't get into too deep of waters, but go for it.
No problem. Here's what it is. Let me first of all start off by saying that unlike most conservatives, and in fact, if you go back in my social media, I think you'll be pretty hard pressed to find any examples of me making fun of her the way that I think so many conservatives have had a good time making fun of her. I actually have a great respect for this woman. Here's why.
Okay, good.
I think that she's completely unprepared for the job that she has, and I think that her ideas are not good. But what I do believe is that she actually comes from a heartfelt place, and I think she actually cares about people. Unfortunately, the ideas that she has, I think, are going to be disastrous for her constituency, and I think they're disastrous for Americans in general. And when I saw her at that State of the Union address with that sourpuss expression on her face, unwilling to stand, unwilling to clap, when the president of the United States was announcing the accomplishments that were benefiting the lives, the very lives in existence of the people, the type of people in her constituency, that's lower income black, lower income brown people, New Yorkers, she couldn't even applaud the successes that those communities that she's representing are seeing. I thought to myself, there needs to be a change.
Brandon, you could be it. You're right. She may be heartfelt. I fear some of the people get caught in a trap of grandstanding, but that'll be the last word. Walk away is the movement. Happy National Golden Retriever Day. TV audience just got a little dose of cuteness right there. Thank you for being with us tonight. Hope you will join us 24/7 on our website, u2america.com. That's the mothership for America Trends. And I'm Amy Fuller, the host you've been with, along with Dr. John Huber. mainstreammentalhealth.org. Dr. Vicki Peterson, who was talking to us about fatigue and how we can combat it. And Brandon Strzok of the hashtag WalkAway movement. Boy, does he have a story to tell. I'm really glad you guys could be here with us tonight to hear what he's doing now. And before we go, we want to share a bit more footage from the feature film that he did called The Great Awakening, Breaking the Chains of the DNC, a compilation of testimonies on why people are walking away from the Democratic Party. Listen and watch as we say goodbye for now.
I was coached from birth that the Democratic Party was the only party that provided for and did anything for blacks.
I was brought up Democrat, raised in a Democrat family by Democrat parents.
My family was always Democrats.
All of my family were hardcore Democrats.
I was heavily in the Democratic Party and helping out Democrats.
Lifelong Democrats, you know, always just blue for the sake of being blue.
When I grew up, I was told by everyone around me that I was to be a proud Democrat.
For years and years and years, people have told us that we should vote Democrat.
Well, it's a generational thing.
Much of what happens to blacks regarding the implanting of their worldview takes place early on in life, in the home, at church, and in the community.
No, no, no. Not God bless America. God damn America.
Black folk traditionally vote Democratic because they just do. Their parents are, their neighborhoods are, and they're Democrats by default.
All I knew was Democrats.
I grew up with my mother and she's a Democrat.
We would just pull the lever for, you know, straight Democrat ticket.
I always voted Democrat because that's what my mom was.
For most of our lives, blacks are taught to be loyal to each other based on skin color and not the truth.
We voted!
I have systematically continued to vote for the Democratic Party just because my grandmother told me to, just because I'm black.
Was even told that when I became eligible to vote, that I had better vote Democratic or not come home.
Did as I was told.
I was a Democrat and let people tell me what to think.
To be honest, until now, I don't even know why I would even say I was a Democrat.
I didn't really do research or learn really like what each party stood for.
I had no clue about politics.
I did not do my research.
I didn't even know the difference between the Democrat and the Republican Party.
Because I didn't take the time, nor did I have the interest to really know who and what I was going to go vote for.
We were taught that Republicans were evil.
The Republicans are racist.
I really didn't know. I just felt that way because I was told to feel that way.
That the Republicans don't care about black people.
And year after year, this was pounded into my head by friends and family.
Always talked down about Republicans and the right side and, you know, so I grew up doing that.
I didn't know any better.
I have been part of the problem.
You're basically led to believe that the Democratic Party is the party for you.
They always taught me about the Democrats. They're for the people.
They're going to be the ones that stand up for injustice and all this other stuff.
That Democrats are for the poor blacks and that Republicans are for the rich white people.
That the Republicans are somehow anti-African-American agenda, African-American expansion, prosperity.
They're there for us. They're the ones that care about the inner city. They care about the minority.
I was just taught in grade school that Democrats cared about the people, the poor and unfortunate, and that Republicans cared about the rich and wealthy. That's all I was told.
It has all been a lie.
When Obama was elected, I recall becoming very emotional.
I voted for Barack Obama.
I voted for Obama, and I thought that I made a good decision.
First very true person, African-American.